I want to share another song with you. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. This was written by Helen H. Lemmel, 1922. My dear mother was only 2 years old when this was written. Well, let's look at it. We know it as a song. Let's look at it as a poem. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. So what should we do? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting he passed, and we follow him there. Or us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then the third stanza, his word shall not fail you. He promised, believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Back when cameras had flash attachments, instead of just taking the picture with your phone, we would often start blinking after the flash and everything looked dark. The brightness of the light makes everything grow strangely dim. So when trouble comes your way, comes to you, you are tempted to look at self. Gary was telling me at lunchtime about a time when he was feeling sad, pity, woe be me, pity time. We're tempted to look to self. But when your attention turns selfward, you will lose sight of him. Can't see both. Can't put them both first. It is then that you are flooded with feelings of darkness and death and despair. This is the way it is without God. Darkness instead of light, death instead of life, and despair instead of love. Always remember that the answer to your needs will never be found inside yourself. The world is always wanting us to do that, but you might as well sort through last month's garbage to find your lunch. Not going to be there. Listen to Romans 7:18. This by the Apostle Paul, the exalted Apostle Paul. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, I want to, is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. In me I will find no good thing. So we listen to the world council, especially the Asian philosophers. The world councils, look within, follow your heart. And God warns against this belief and redirects you to the truth. Jeremiah 17, look at verse 9. The heart that you're supposed to be following here is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We almost think that who can know it means the kind of question that answers itself.
Rhetorical
question. But God then answers it in verse 10. We sometimes miss this. Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. See, who can know it? God can. I try the reins. Reins is another word for insides, your insides. I try their kidneys. even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So God says, I know, I see the heart, I can search it. Don't follow it. The people that, you know, fall for romantic love and, well, I don't love my wife anymore, I have to love this other person. I don't love my husband anymore, I love this other person. Is looking to your heart. It's deceitful and desperately wicked. For the believer, there is always a place to look outside of self. He has given us counselors in the authority structure over us, the chain of command. Civil authorities counsel us with laws. Parental authorities counsel us with their experience. Church authorities counsel us with godly duties upon which to focus our attention. Pastors counsel us with exhortations from the Bible. But the greatest counselor of all is Jesus himself, who has left his presence with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit offers you the discernment to recognize the truth when you see it and hear it. Matthew 28:20, the last part of the verse says, Lo, Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, how can he be with me if he's at the right hand of God offering intercession? Because he accomplishes this in the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within you. So, Christ is more aware of your true situation than you are, because he sees through the deception of our heart. He has set a limit on your trial or your temptation. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And the promise here is, but God is faithful, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So when you worry about tomorrow, I don't know if you see what that does, you worry about tomorrow, you attempt to carry tomorrow's burdens with only today's grace. See? You will stagger under that load, stumble, and fall. So focus on the boundaries of today's duties to God and duties to others. Listen to Christ's counsel in Matthew 6:34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of those things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have enough evil in this day. Focus on that, see? So redirect your self-focus to love focus. The song we were reading, His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. So, woe is me turns into, oh, the ungodly have a very bad thing for them. I need to tell them, in full assurance, I need to tell them of the truth.